Hey, what's going on? Episode 43. Are you serious?
We have made it.
Yeah. I've already gotten compliments about how casual. Well, I don't like know about it. Compliments, maybe like comments about how casual I look. I'm not a casual guy unless I'm home.
Yeah.
Like leaving the house in a sweatshirt's just not really my thing. I'm tired. I'm tired this weekend. I was like, you know what? I'm basically going to put on some pants and the rest of it's going to be my jammies. And that's how we're going to do the podcast today.
Well, we're here. This is your first time listening to us, he's Chief Meteorologist Jamie Arnold here at WMBF News. I'm Meteorologist Andrew Dockery. Hopefully this is not your first time listening, but if it is,
welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Yeah.
I did get a message from someone saying they found us on the Roku app of...
Didn't even know you could do that.
Me either. So thank you for finding us. And
finding us on Roku.
And they've binged us, I guess, through the WMBF News app on Roku. Nice. So I'm really cool there. We had a pretty good crowd last week. Of course, last week was... I look better.
What did we talk about? Oh, yeah, allergies. Yeah, everything. Yeah. You're coming along.
We are. We're still a little puffy, but we're a lot better than where we are. Yeah. I can see you, which is good.
Yeah, that's good. I missed the premiere last week. I'm trying to think of what I was doing. I was crazy busy doing something. Last week was busy.
You were
busy.
Doing something. Last week was a
busy. This week's busy, yeah.
Maybe live shots?
I can't remember. Yeah.
I was on death's doorstep last week during the premiere, so I think I said two things, and that's about it. Yeah. We had a fun time last weekend, though, and you're kind of keeping the tradition. We were at St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day Parade in North Myrtle Beach.
Can we talk about that crowd?
North Myrtle Beach knows how to do a parade. No doubt about it.
Goodness.
Not only a huge crowd, but a huge parade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That felt like it would not stop.
Yeah.
It would not end.
Yeah, it was really fun. I always love that parade.
That parade, that city always goes all out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Conway and their decorations for every holiday, which I did see a snippet that they're doing something for Easter. But their parades in North Myrtle. Mm-hmm.
Their St. Patrick's Parade and their Christmas Parade are just massive.
By the time we got home, I did nothing the rest of the weekend. Nothing.
Same. I don't think I did anything else. I went out for a little bit St. Patrick's Day on Sunday.
Okay, well that's fun.
Yeah.
Any painting lately?
I'm sort of because I'm a little ADHD. I kind of have started like 3 paintings. And I've yet to finish them.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So you know, when I have a little free time, I'll kind of pick one up and like, all right, let's add a little this. So eventually. There will be 3 new completed paintings.
We did get a couple of people in the premiere last week. I vividly remember it when we brought up the housewarming gift.
Yeah.
Of what you should do.
Yeah.
We have some people who gave some ideas.
I need to go back. That's
Mark
how busy
said
I was.
That you should do some customized like hurricane lamp. Something that you could like, I don't know how you would make a lamp a hurricane.
Okay.
But something that was customized where it was like hurricane, maybe a lamp that he could have on like a table.
Interesting. Okay.
I said, that's not a bad idea, Mark.
Yeah.
I think it was Margaret said you should take the comments on the paintings he's done to figure out which kind of paintings he likes.
Ooh.
And use that as inspiration. Those were the top two.
Okay.
There were a couple others. Someone joked and said, maybe an Are You Serious mug, meaning they want one too.
Not going to happen.
But yeah, so I thought that was really
good.
Neat.
Oh, thanks, y'all.
Go back and look at the comments and see what he actually liked and what he didn't.
Yeah.
That way, maybe that's some inspiration for
housewarming. That's good.
So you never know. People will do it.
Look at the Are You Seriousers coming through. Are you serious?
I guess
fans.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Look at the little cloud droplets coming through.
Yeah, I tried to make something cute out of that, but
I fumbled.
I'm still in my jammies, so forgive me.
Sipping our coffee, doing what we do best. I'm a little disappointed because I was supposed to have a loaf of bread here for you today.
Yes. I was.
We're cooking.
You sent me pictures over the weekend, and I was blown away.
Me too.
And that was a good-looking loaf.
It tastes so good.
And the sandwich was good?
Yeah, sandwich was good. I have one for lunch today. I'm pumped. I'm ready. The problem is since I was so sick all last week, I did nothing except bake, which was great. I loved it. It's been amazing. I think we've made a total of 4 loaves already.
That's funny. That's good. That's good because I've yet to see a single one.
I know.
Or had a brownie or...
So yours was being prepped. It is literally at my house right now. Here's the issue that Andrew did not realize when he started his sourdough journey.
Mm-hmm. Our lives are pathetic.
Welcome into Are You Serious? Yeah. I will tell you this. It's all temperature dependent.
Oh.
So when I was baking over the weekend,
yeah.
my bread would like ferment and bulk and be ready to bake in yeah. like 8 hours.
Okay.
Well, now that the front has moved
now
through.
It's chillier. It's taking forever.
Yes. Last night, I think we were at hour 12 and we still weren't fully there.
Wow.
So we had to do a cold ferment. That's why we're delayed. That's why it's not here. Next week.
A cold ferment.
Yeah, I'm telling
Learn
you.
Something new every day.
That's what call it. I don't know what that means.
A cold ferment. Well, you're going to be.
Get ready.
You're going to be spitting out loaves like crazy this summer.
Right.
Man, you'll have one ready to go in an hour.
They were like, if you live in an area with high heat and humidity, be ready to bake in 4 hours. I was like, oh.
Yeah, so, set that thing outside on a hot July morning. You'll be ready to go. It'll be baked by the time you get home from work.
We'll do a sourdough cam and right? that's it. So, yeah, I learned that. I was like, oh, we'll just do the same method we did in the weekend.
Yeah.
Nope, can't do that. So the more you know. I went to go remove the dough and I said, Emily, this does not look right. And it wasn't ready yet, so.
Wow.
And I'm the gunner, Jamie.
Wow.
So yeah, here we are. There we are. It is March Madness season. Do you feel out of bracket?
No. I've never filled out a bracket.
I might as well just do this podcast on my own today. I'm just kidding.
If we're doing March Madness, you probably should. I'll curl up back here and doze off until you find something interesting to talk about.
I figured
about.
You never did.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Sports not my thing.
Nice.
Well, that does.
Did you see
that
the news?
What news?
I don't know.
No, okay.
No, I'm just messing with you.
How about that weather?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, we're caught up. I'm back to full health, almost.
Yeah.
Jamie's here.
I'm here.
And I don't know what it is. We were talking about before we did the podcast, just this episode, kind of like a lull in the activity. And listen, I am thankful for it.
Yeah.
Like, we have rain coming again, obviously, this weekend and all that. But we'll take the quiet weather while we can. So I think that's kind of why we're in this mood. Yeah,
because hands are in a whole bunch of other pots right now.
And I don't have any more to get.
Stretched thin.
So
stretched thin.
You have a big trip coming up, which is kind of where we want to go with this episode.
Yeah.
I don't even know your itinerary. So are you conference first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, I fly out April 2nd to go down to South Padre Island, Texas, for the National Tropical Weather Conference, which is where Dr. Phil will release his hurricane outlook. All the hurricane experts from all over the country will be there. I'm going to leave South Padre, hop on a plane, fly up to Austin, Texas, spend a couple of days there, and the highlight of Austin, Texas is going to be the eclipse on April 8th.
And what a view it will be. That's why we just kind of want to spend this whole episode talking about the eclipse.
Yeah.
I didn't go to totality last time. I'm
biggest
trying to think.
You've ever made.
I know. And
literally the biggest mistake.
And
you've
I'm
ever
not
made.
Going this time. So I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about some other dates if for some reason you don't have them. I have those written down. For the total solar eclipse, you've been before. What would you describe it as?
Literally life-changing. Mm. Absolutely life-changing. We had, I remember an eclipse growing up, maybe when I was in elementary school. Obviously, I wasn't sort of aware enough to enjoy it. Then we had the eclipse in 2017. That was in August of 2017. The path of totality cut basically from Georgetown down through Charleston.
Yep.
That was totality. I was in Georgetown. We were doing a live broadcast, was there, spent months researching and watching videos and trying to sort of get a handle on what to expect, because we were doing basically a full 4 hour live broadcast from the eclipse. I was like, we got a lot to talk about. So I was incredibly well versed and I thought I knew what to expect.
Yeah.
That last 30 seconds, when you go from 99.8% of the sun covered to 100% of the sun covered by the moon, is absolutely unbelievable. It's like it happens so fast, and it's so unusual and bizarre. It's just bizarre as it's, like I said, it happens fast. And you go from sort of a normal day, and then you'll notice, okay, it's kind of dim. And then on the distance, it almost looks like a black curtain or a black shaft on the horizon. And you just see this approaching you as totality approaches. And it's literally the shadow moving across the earth at, I think, 1,000 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And then you reach totality, and it's like someone just pulls up the curtains, and it's dark. It's dark. You can take off your glasses. You look up. It is the blackest black you've ever seen. The moon in front of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most, it's like someone literally took a hole punch and like punched out a spot in the sky.
Mm.
You can see stars. The birds are chirping. Our eclipse in 2017 happened in the afternoon in August. What happens around here in the afternoons in August? We get pop-up thunderstorms. I think it was maybe 3 in the afternoon. We're in totality. There had been some concern about clouds around that day. And it was pretty cloudy most of the morning, but as we got close to totality, sort of over Georgetown, the sky cleared up. But there were pop-up thunderstorms all around that mm-hmm. afternoon. So in totality, it's dark above you. The other cool thing about totality is that while it's dark, it's not dark like night, but it's dark, but you have a 360-degree sunset.
Mm.
Everywhere you look, it's a sunset. Sunset. And there were thunderstorms. And during the total eclipse, you can see lightning flashes from distant thunderstorms and the sun in its eclipse. And it's, you know, it goes so fast. Totality in Georgetown was 1.5 minutes. And when I tell you it starts fast and it ends fast, it's insane. You go from darkness and it's just like, and it's light.
And then you're back to normal.
And I swore right then and there. That's the only time I've ever cried on live television. Like, tears were coming down my face because it was so unbelievable. And I swore right then and there that day. I said, I will see every possible total eclipse I can for the rest of my life. And ever since then, I've been planning on April 8th, 2024 to go to Texas.
Which, after this one, there's a solid gap until our next one.
I'll probably be dead, won't I? How long is it?
You'll still be cheap here. 2045.
Do the math. I won't be cheap here. I'll be long. I'll probably be dead.
45 and then 2052, one in South Carolina.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Total?
Yeah, totality will be in Charleston.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, they were in totality in 2017. Yeah. Interesting.
Charleston.
Yeah.
So it'll start in Mexico and it'll come across portions of Louisiana, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina.
So, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. You'll be around for those two, not me. Not me.
So the
Texas plan, the great thing about this eclipse.
I was about to say, how do you plan this one based off what you know now from the first?
I know where the path of totality is. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I wanted, I mentioned how fast it was. Totality in Georgetown in 2017 was 1.5 minutes. And it flies by. Texas is going to have some of the longest periods of totality, and that has to do with sort of the angle of the shadow and how long you're in that shadow. There's a strip there west of Austin all the way down to the Mexican border that has over 4 minutes.
4 minutes and 26 seconds in Texas.
Yeah. And that's a long time.
That's long.
To be in totality, and that's what I wanted because I want to enjoy it. Yeah. I enjoyed the last one, but it was also a work assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not working this one. This is vacation.
Yeah.
And I want to sit for 4 minutes and just soak it up.
That's going to be epic.
And admire it. Of course, I'm going to take some pictures and stuff, but yeah, just, yeah. In the Texas Hill Country, I'm still sort of researching where exactly I want to go. I know my area. I'm torn between wanting to be alone, just alone.
Somewhere. In the middle of nowhere.
You get out west Austin, there ain't much happening in Texas.
No.
That's the Texas Hill Country. And the part of me just wants to experience it alone.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of festivals, a lot of the parks and state parks there having big events. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that. It's too many people. I want the silence. I want to hear. I just want to experience the full thing. So we'll see. But I'm also kind of scared because it's West Texas. There's like snakes and stuff.
I think that'll make it even more peaceful.
Yeah, well, me and a rattlesnake.
You'll start hearing the rattles as the sun goes down.
Yeah.
Also, too, I was, because, you know, everyone's been talking about this now for at least a year. Mm. And there's different stories that come out of how different people are prepping for it and all that. The ones where you're getting on a flight to go observe it, that's weird to me.
It's weird, and I've seen the pictures, and it looks amazing. I'd rather be in it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm
in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you still have some PTO to use.
If you do, if you have the opportunity, do it. If you have family who lives in the path of totality, say, hey, I'm coming up. Because I guarantee you're not going to find a hotel now.
Correct.
Eclipse tourism is a huge thing.
Correct.
I've had my place booked for almost 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit late booking a car. I almost didn't get a rental car.
Mm.
And I booked that 8 months ago.
My parents are so close that I kind of hope they take the day off and just drive in.
Tell them. Start just telling them in. Now.
Yeah.
Start telling them now. One of my biggest regrets from 2017 is Georgetown, again, was 100% totality. When we say totality, we mean 100% of the sun is covered by the moon, and you're in the shadow. The difference between totality and 99% coverage,
mm-hmm.
there is 10,000 times more light.
Yeah.
Myrtle Beach in 2017 was 99.8% percent totality. Ask anybody who stayed here, and they'll say, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. No big deal. So many people were disappointed because you think 99.8% of the sun's going to be covered. Yeah, it's going to be dark. It got dim. But the difference between that and totality, you have to.
Yeah. We were on the other side of the state of Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
And we sent a crew. I sent a crew out because I was chief at that point. I remember there was a wedding or something that was mm-hmm. coming up. So we sent a crew out to Paducah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like 98%, 97% on the eastern side of the state.
Yeah.
It just got dim.
It gets dim. And it's a weird.
It's a weird dim. It's like a dim. Hazy.
Yeah.
Kind of like you picture like you're in the desert.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I feel like there should be sand around and like tumbleweeds.
It's a case where you're like, you know something's different.
Yeah, but
you can't quite.
It's like your eyes are playing a trick.
It's like your eyes are playing a trick. It's not like it's getting dark at night. It's a totally different. Dim, mm-hmm. I think, is the way to. Everything just gets dim.
Yeah.
Almost. Not black and white, but like colors lose their vibrance. It's just a dimness
mm-hmm.
that settles in if you're in the partial eclipse.
I'm excited for you. It's going to be fun.
I'm so ready.
Just for people who don't know.
Yes.
It's kind of the view you're going for.
That is the view. Now, obviously, this, you know, it takes a really good camera and a really good photographer. But basically, during a solar eclipse, the black circle that you see, that is the moon.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Behind it is the sun, and the light that you see, that's called the corona.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what the corona is more or less the outer atmosphere of the sun.
Yeah.
That light that you see is the outer atmosphere. Here's one of the most beautiful stats. You can call it a religious thing. You can call it whatever you want. It is literally by the most amazing coincidence that we can have an eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for this? Do you know this stat?
I've seen a couple stats that I have written down, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
The sun
mm-hmm.
and the moon take up exactly the same amount of space in our sky.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to look up at night at the moon, measure how much of the sky it takes up. During the day, look up how much of the sun takes up. They are exactly the same. We all know the sun is huge.
Yeah.
But yet we can still end up with this. How the little tiny moon blocks out the sun. The sun is 400 times wider than the moon. But it's 400 times further away. And without that perfect coincidence,
mm-hmm.
we would not have eclipses.
It's also crazy to think that it's got to be the perfect orientation.
Yeah.
Because you can have partial eclipses.
You can have partial eclipses, but yeah.
But they don't look like this.
They don't look like that.
Yeah. It's just really cool to see a phenomenon of how all this works. even the before and after stage of the total eclipse, getting it all set up, like starting to see, because even hours leading up to it, you can start to say, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
We have some partial coverage.
You can see it. And of course, we all know, we remember it, you know, during the partial phase, you have to have your eclipse glasses. Correct. Or you have to be viewing through something else. Hopefully, you still have your eclipse glasses from 2017. It'll still be a cool view around here. And we're going to talk about what to see around here. This is the feature that made me cry.
Ooh. So this is where the tears
this
came from.
This is where the tears came from. This is called the diamond ring effect. And because obviously it looks like a diamond ring with a big diamond on it, that happens at the very last 5 or 10 seconds before totality and the first 5 or 10 seconds after fatality. And that is the last fraction of a percent of sunlight that is peeking back behind the moon. And it creates that amazing effect. And during that live broadcast in 2017, we had a special camera kind of focused on it. And again, it happens fast. It's only that last 5 or 10 seconds. But to look down on the monitor and then look up with the still eclipse glasses, and you could even see the diamond ring effect with the eclipse glasses, and to see that diamond ring, and it's sort of an optical illusion. So, you know, the picture of the moon moving in front of the sun, there's that last little fraction. And just before totality, you almost get that, and then it's darkness. And then, as you end, you get it real quick, big burst of light, and then you're back into normal.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, too. What's also crazy to me is the technology.
Yeah.
To be able to see, like, just this.
Yeah.
Even, like, when people are like, oh, I'm going to look at my telescope. If I see anyone live on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, TikTok, and they're like, hey, looking at the planets tonight, my telescope, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Because that amazes me beyond wonder. The SpaceX launches. It's just crazy to think.
Insane.
That all that is up there.
It's happening. Yeah. Like, right.
Well, yeah. We're down here, you know? Yeah. I don't know. It's just fascinating how all that works.
Yep. I threw this in because this is roughly what our view is going to be. Through your eclipse glasses.
Yes.
That's what it's going to look like. If you don't have your eclipse glasses, you're not seeing any of it.
Yeah.
But this is roughly 72.1%.
I think that's what it is.
72.1% of the sun will be covered here in our area. Yep. Yeah. 71.2%. So let's, for your planning purposes, April 8th, the eclipse begins at 1:56. We reach maximum eclipse at 3:13. When 71.2% of the sun will be covered, there may be a very minor dimming.
Yeah.
Barely noticeable. And then it's over.
Do you remember what the temperature was? We had a big temperature drop in Western Kentucky, which was really cool to see.
There was a temperature drop.
I think it dropped about 8 degrees in Western Kentucky.
Not that long. Now, down south, where totality, I think, was closer to 3 minutes,
okay.
I think there was a more noticeable drop. You could feel it.
Yeah.
You know, it was August, so it's hot and humid. 100%. But you could feel a little bit of relief. And that's very common.
Yeah, you'll be able to feel
that
in Texas.
Yeah, you will feel that temperature drop. Yeah. Yeah. Just crazy.
Not to mention, also, just to push, we're going to have coverage of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Our for sure. Weather app will have a ton of stuff. WNBF News. I think we already have a link on our website for that.
Yep.
You're going to be out there, but we're not going to ask you to work because you need to enjoy it. And the week before is going to be crazy, too. Some fun stats that you didn't touch on. One location, fixed location on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Myrtle Beach, for instance, will experience a total eclipse every 350 years. Totality.
That's crazy.
That's wild to think about.
That is really wild to think about. What's even more wild to think about is you go back to the 2017 eclipse, which started on the West Coast, I believe in Oregon, and the path of totality went across the U.S. and then exited the U.S. In the South Carolina Lowcountry. The eclipse coming up on April 8th kind of crosses the border from Mexico into Texas, arches up through the Midwest, and then exits in Maine. There's an X.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Carbondale, Illinois. Carbondale, Illinois. Totality in 2017, totality in 2024. Like, how lucky are you? Like, go buy a lottery ticket in Carbondale. Yeah.
Especially on that day.
Yeah. So yeah, that's crazy.
It's cool to see that happens. At least two solar eclipses somewhere on Earth every year. That does not include total. That's just partial or whatever. However, in totality, you get one every year or two on average.
Yeah.
For the Earth's surface, but think about the Earth's surface. That's
it's big. It's big. And some of them are very brief. Some of them, you know, pass over the poles where they don't really get a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked much into which one's going to be my next one. I guess I need to do that. What's coming up?
Maybe there's overseas. A lot that are going to be overseas.
Well, then I guess
there's one that's really appetizing. That's in Australia,
all right.
Which would kind of be fun.
All right.
Do it down under.
I'm in.
Of course, like we said, the next one's for the United States after this one, 2045 and 2052.
Yeah.
So
enjoy.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
I'll be watching from above for those two. Hopefully. Hopefully not below.
a different view, if you will. Oh, my goodness. Anything you want to add about the I know you're pumped.
I'm so pumped. And again, my biggest thing is if you still have the chance, if you have some time, if you have friends or family near totality, we'll put a map up or something of the path of totality. Google it. It's easy to find. See if you can go swing by.
What's funny is we're going home to Kentucky like a week or two after. I know.
Yeah. Erica Edwards, the anchor of our 4 o'clock show, she was like, yeah, I was thinking about going, taking my son. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If you have the means and the time, you can do that. Do it because it will absolutely blow your mind.
Yeah. Well, right.
That's my eclipse soapbox.
That's the sales pitch for the Great American Eclipse,
do
if
it.
You will.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think because, and this is where I'm going to open the floor for our live chat and our listeners. First off, thank you. We've got, I think we're approaching 4,000 downloads.
Whoa.
20 countries are IP addresses.
Really?
20 countries now.
Wow.
International, if you will. But I want to kind of open this because we're now getting into this window of... It's a little too early for hurricane season yet.
Yeah.
But also severe weather season's around.
Yeah.
I know we're going to have the follow-up when you come back from Texas talking this and...
Yep. We may have to do a two-parter. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Plus, we're going to talk about the tropics. So, there's something that you want us to cover before we get into really another round of meat and potatoes, because...
Yeah. Yeah.
Now would be the time to throw, hey, this would be fun to talk about, and hopefully we can answer that.
Yeah, because we've had some kind of easy episodes so far this season.
Yeah, we have.
They've been fun and easy. We hadn't gone too hardcore, but
I got a feeling
I think the next couple weeks we'll be going hardcore.
I was about to say, a lot of preparation, if you will. I think we'll shoot the breeze. I don't know how many we have in here. I do have a question from Facebook. We have two in here.
That works.
And then I have a question from Facebook from Doug. And it's a good question before you leave for Texas to set up. What we're going to talk about after Texas.
Okay.
All right. This is Mark.
We love you, Mark.
We love you, Mark. Also, shout out to Mark and his wife because she got me hooked on sourdough.
Yeah.
She's the one that's
been quite the master in the kitchen.
Helping me out,
yeah.
Which is fantastic. Cloud base, is the altitude of cloud bases predicted by a temperature inversion layer? Mark.
Mark. Well, there's a lot of ways we can go with this. If we're talking about it, Mark does this every time. I have to like, all right, where do we start? So let's talk about, I'm going to assume Mark is talking about convective clouds.
That's what I'm assuming.
Convective clouds.
Yes.
So cumulus, cumulonimbus, your clouds that are puffy and typically have a flat base, especially see them now that we're getting into spring, summer, see the cumulus and cumulonimbus, thunderstorm clouds all the time. The height of that base, where the bottom of that cloud is, very much temperature dependent, very much moisture dependent.
Yep.
There's this fun little thing called the level of free convection. Yeah.
The LFC.
Yeah, the level of free convection or the lifted condensation level.
Yep.
Man. All right. So let's take a summer day. Okay? It's a summer day.
We're going to do
it. It's warm and it's humid. You start to warm the atmosphere up.
Correct.
Think of a normal summer day. It's usually completely clear in the morning. Sun comes up. Air starts to warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Temperatures start to warm up. what happens with warm air?
It rises.
So in sort of the inside baseball talk, we call that rising air, we call it a parcel. That's just kind of scientific talk. So you take a parcel, a bubble of air.
Yeah.
You start to warm it up, and it starts to rise.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as you go higher in the atmosphere, usually temperatures begin to cool.
Correct.
So as you take that parcel up, it begins to cool. As air cools, it condenses.
Mm-hmm.
When it condenses, the water vapor begins to condense, and you get a cloud to form. And there's a level at which that happens.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of what happens to that parcel is highly dependent on what's happening above that parcel.
Correct.
Of air. If that air is colder, that parcel will start to accelerate.
Mm-hmm.
It'll start to go higher, faster. It will cool faster. It will condense faster, and you will get a really nice cumulus cloud.
Mm-hmm.
If that air is dry or if it is warm, that parcel will stop.
Mm-hmm.
Will stop rising.
I like to think of, we use this at some point with the jet stream.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. The parcel is going to go as far as the atmosphere allows it. It's like a highway.
Yes.
It's going to continue to go, especially in summertime.
Mm-hmm.
When it hits that level of free convection. Watch out until it doesn't have something.
Yes.
Whether that's temperature or moisture,
More
than likely it's going to run out of steam.
So let's go back to the level of free convection.
Yeah.
So your parcel initially starts to rise because it is very warm. That level of free convection is where it no longer needs that sort of underlying push.
Mm-hmm.
It can continue to rise on its own.
Correct.
For as high as it will go. Again, depending on other situations. I hope we explained
the
level of free convection.
I think that's
well.
Right. And I think too, when he's talking temperature inversion, typically, like you said, the air gets cooler as you go up.
Mm-hmm.
However, traditionally, there may be a level where it is warmer.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, though, as far as your cloud base goes, it's going to be in reference to where the lifting condensation level or the level of free convection is.
The point at which that parcel condenses.
Correct.
Condenses, and you get the moisture. And you can see that very clearly on a day when you have a field of cumulus clouds.
Yeah.
All of those bases are at the same height.
Yeah.
That's literally that your level of free convection, your lifted condensation level.
Yeah. I would tell you the complete opposite happens, Mark, when the temperature inversion is so strong above on like a very warm and humid day,
mm-hmm.
but the air above the surface is so warm and you're like, where are the clouds?
Mm-hmm.
That inversion is basically keeping a cap on anything from rising.
Exactly.
And until you get enough warmth at the surface to kind of finally spark into that free highway, for instance, I think you see more of that on a day not filled with clouds, if that makes sense.
Yes.
The inversion kind of holds the clouds back.
Yeah.
But when you see the cloud bases, that's the LFC, LCL. Hopefully that helps.
I think
that's the best way I know how to describe it.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't go into teaching.
And that's going to lead into another Mark question here in the next episode.
Yeah, here, Mark, I'm going to let you borrow atmospheric convection.
Yeah.
there's a couple of 26-page equations in here for how to measure the LFC and the LCL. And those factors also come into play. Here we go, getting sidetracked. In severe weather.
Yeah.
If we're forecasting severe weather, one of the first things I look at, especially if there's a tornado threat, is the LCL.
Yeah.
Because around here in the summer, in a tropical type setup,
mm-hmm.
it's basically dragging the ground. Like we'll joke. Yeah, the LCL's at treetop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a really low LCL, lifted condensation level, and you have an otherwise favorable environment for tornadoes, it's basically a much shorter distance
to cover
that, to get that spin down to the ground.
Yeah.
which is a really cool thing.
Those days for me are always some of my favorite because you know it's not going to take as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And while the risk may not be as high as like a typical severe weather setup day, a low LCL with a high shear and just enough cape can do you just as much.
Yeah, you can. And like I said, it's just, it's a lot quicker to get
a
tornado from, you know, here to here than from here to here.
Yeah.
With a higher LCL.
What was that day we had where the clouds were extremely low just recently? It was one of the severe weather days we had. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if we were under level two or level three. But I remember driving back in briefly, and the clouds were so low.
Basically treetop level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point, you have a tornado warning storm, and you have all this. Yep. It's just, it's really neat to watch. So,
yeah. Mark, it's my turn.
No, it's your turn. Mark, thank you. You know, if we gave Mark that book, we would eventually run into questions we couldn't answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think we handled that one okay. Any time frame on when you would expect the next shot of cold Arctic air? I'm going to go December. Oh, this, I mean, we've had the chill this week. I think we probably have another one.
Yeah, maybe, April delivers a chill occasionally.
Yeah, I think Easter, give or take a couple days, we'll probably have a chill. Is it going to be Arctic frost freeze? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But as far as like any kind of bitter cold, I think,
we're done.
Yeah, we're done with that. I still want you to wait till planting because we could still get a frost. And the ground's still chilly. And wait till Easter.
Yeah, Easter's a good rule of thumb.
Wait till Easter.
And there might still be one cold snap that we get to where it's, you know, you have to cover some sensitive vegetation in April. That usually always happens.
Yeah, it always happens.
But yeah, I think we're here. Also, I think we're done with the worst of the pollen. After this weekend.
I do too.
I've started to notice it.
Yeah.
It's still out there, and it's still covering your car, but the worst is gone. Yeah.
And if we can get that really good rain,
it'll be game over.
Friday and Saturday, we'll be good to go.
Yeah.
We'll be good to go.
It's still enough to, like, annoy you and irritate you, and you can feel it.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not what it was last week, which, firsthand experience, I can certainly tell you. I did get a question from Doug. Doug asked this question in my Facebook message. He said, basically, when it comes to long-term forecasting, we're hearing a lot of above normal chance of, and he talked about the winter weather outlook, obviously, when we're talking about El Nino. He said he's hearing a lot more about hurricane season. What are the chances that these forecasts can flip a script or flip, like, hey, it looks like we're going to have an above average? I guess he's talking about the accuracy of these forecasts. Like, for instance, La Nina is more than likely going to set up.
Yep.
We're more than likely, not more than likely, we do have record temperatures in the Atlantic.
In the Atlantic.
So I think what Doug is saying is everyone's saying, oh, it's going to be bad. I think the caveat to that, Doug, is that doesn't necessarily mean Myrtle Beach.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean South Carolina.
Right. And that's the thing with hurricane seasonal forecasting is – it's not about where they're going to go. It's strictly a numbers game. How many? And then it's a simple odds game. You know, if it's a crazy active season, yeah, our odds are going to be higher. But we've also gotten hit in really slow years. We've gotten hit in really big years. So the long range, the seasonal forecast are just another tool in the toolbox. We get excited about it on a meteorological standard standpoint. But for you at home, thinking about this upcoming hurricane season, think about it. Prepare like you do any other hurricane season.
That's good.
And that's kind of the bottom line because, like I said, we say it every year, it only takes one.
Yeah.
If we have three hurricanes and that's the whole season, but one of them hits here, it's a big, bad, busy year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good way to look at it.
That said, literally everything points to potentially a very busy hurricane season.
I have a feeling that we're going to see some, just based off the way Phil's been tweeting.
Yeah. He's dropping nuggets. He's dropping nuggets.
I got a feeling we may even see, like, I would have to go back and look, but record Colorado State forecast.
Potentially, yeah.
Potential values.
Yeah.
Like higher than we've seen from Colorado State on an early season outlook. Just anytime he tweets, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I know where they're looking.
Especially, you know, we went into last hurricane season with a lot of uncertainty. Because we had El Nino, which typically decreases the number. We had the record warm Atlantic water temperatures, which normally equates to a busier than normal season. The warm water won out last year.
Yeah.
The season finished, I think, pretty much above all of the original forecasts. Well, we've still got that. And now we're transitioning into a La Nina for the hurricane season, which, again, typically favors a more active season. So I think we're going to see some numbers.
I think so, too.
Eye-opening numbers.
I'm also looking forward to that one episode that we will do where you come back with everything you've learned and what they're looking at, and then we question everything we're doing, because I know that's not questioning it because we're doing it wrong, but just because how can we become better?
Yeah.
Like the whole impact of the cone, trust the cone. If you missed that, that is still relevant to
today. That's still an amazing episode. It's still one of my favorites, and I'm sure you've seen, and I'm sure we're going to talk a lot more about it after my trip to Texas. The Hurricane Center, the National Hurricane Center, is making changes this hurricane season to their cone and how it's displayed. It used to just be, here's the cone, this is where it's going to go. Now, from them, at least, if you go to their website, which is totally go to them. They're a reputable source. They're going to show the cone, but they're also going to have all of the watches and warnings related to that storm, because many, many times the impacts go way outside the cone, and that's their way of trying to get that message across, like we talked about in that episode.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming from them. I'm excited about it. Anything you want to add? I want to keep it short. I feel like we've been going long on a couple of episodes.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. I mean, eclipses,
they deserve a break.
And hurricanes, and
I don't even know what we're doing next week.
I don't either.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You'll be gone in a couple of weeks, so we're going to have to get some content for you.
Yeah, so give us ideas, whatever you want.
Also, I forgot to say it. Like, rate.
Like, rate.
Rate.
Share.
And share.
Rate, and subscribe.
Rate. And rate. Subscribe. Those are the two big ones for us that helps us out. And if there's something that we could do better, let us know.
As long as you're nice about it. And if not, that's okay, too.
Oh, my goodness. Any plans for the upcoming weekend? I'm doing nothing.
I really hope it just freaking pours all day Saturday so I don't have to do anything.
Same. And I know there's people that are like, I know, already like, oh, we have this plan.
Yeah, I know.
I need a good
In my life, I want a good
soaking rain.
Napping Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
College basketball is going to be on for me. And then Sunday. I'd be okay with a couple showers Sunday morning.
Yeah, take it. All that. Be fine. Maybe I'll just close the blinds and pretend it's raining all day.
Dressed like this.
This is my weekend.
He'll be set and ready to go.
Maybe next week I'll change out of my jammies.
Maybe it's the new look.
Yeah. Probably not.
I think that does it for us.
All right. Yeah, that's it.
We're going to keep
Episode
it short.
43.
43 is down.
Yep,
crazy
appreciate
to think.
It.
I guess we'll be back for 44 next week.
We'll see you next week, God willing.
All right, y'all have a good one.